Blog Talk Radio.
If you're more of a reader than a listener, you can peep our written content at socialdissonance.wordpress.com.
All right, what's going on, gang? So this will be a Make Rap Great Again, right? And that'll be the first hour, and then the which is will be all pre-recorded and just ready to fire through it. And then the second hour, we'll go ahead and tune in live to what's left of the debate, all right? And maybe we might even roll over past the second hour. All right, let's get into this. Make Rap Great Again plus news and comment. What's going on, gang? Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, I Walked on Rum and Turned Water to Whiskey, Social Justice for Adults, Misogynoir Exposed, White on White Crime, Reading in the Shade, socialdissonance.wordpress.com. All right, so we have a breakdown we might be able to get to in the second hour of Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders in the town hall and the way the time broke down. And no, white feminist, with Hillary Clinton, it's not the first time it happened, okay? Okay, white feminist, it's not just being done because it's Hillary Clinton. This is something that's been going on for a while, okay? So you don't need to protect Hillary. Okay, you don't need to protect the multimillionaire that has ruined thousands, if not millions, of black lives in her path. All right? You don't need to save her from the time breakdown of the debate. Update on black teenage child rape victim Letitia Clay and coloring books. It's very fucking sad. Fucking sad. Queer and trans women of color at the Castro Art Exhibit. Sisterhood is powerful. All right, feminism to feministas. Peru, mercury poisoning. And it's an epidemic that sweeps tribe. All right, 80% of the recently contacted, basically means Europeans just started fucking with them. Christian conservative lawmaker Angela Wozniak tries to staff a staffer. We're not going to get to that on the program, but that is a long form news post that you can catch on the FatherTeresaBlog.wordpress.com, and I'll actually go ahead and slap it on the at the Father Teresa on the Twitter. You can catch the link there, or the Wine Cellar News on the Tumblr. I mostly just link shit to the Tumblr. I don't think I really make a lot of original Tumblr posts. And a prophet is the butt of a religious joke. All right, Zion Christian Church prophet was filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, we gonna see what happens with them, Jesus. Ha! The Lord. And Jesus Christ. So a school ignored soy sauce racist cheers during an Asian girls basketball game. All right, happened out in Sacramento, California, because liberal. Yeah, because progressive, because post-racial McMurica. All right. So we got some stuff, we got some things, some whatnot, and what have you. In the Wine Cellar, maybe get to Michael Savage. Maybe not. Get to Michael Savage. He's a goddamn weirdo. If we do, that'll be for the second Martha Frackin Hour in the Wine Cellar. All right, thanks for hitting us up at the Patreon, thepatreon.com, Wine Cellar Entertainment, patreon.com/Wine Cellar Podcast, and signing up for what you can on a monthly basis to push us toward doing this full time. I want a full fine Wine Cellar network, and I'm gonna start building that network May 1st, all right? Get through the month of April for funding, because Phoenix Kalita will not let me just buy it now. She said, fuck no. We will build more funding and then buy it, but we will buy a website. All right. Let's get into some goddamn Wine Cellar.
National Enquirer does better investigative reporting than the New York Times and all of the American newspapers put together.
I knew you. You knew me too. And just like a romance, you were too shy. But you were.
Murdered by a hooker. Prostitute hired by shady CIA figure injected the jurist with poison. He knew some of the deepest secrets about the Obama administration. Oh, yes.
It's Free Thought Thursday in the wine cellar.
Boy, just be yourself. If people don't like you, if you're being yourself, fuck them. Let me tell you something. I should go with a girl man, about your age. I try to please her peppy all the time. Without my way to please her peppy. I come in one day, I said, nice weather we have. I said, you can't say that. You can't say that. It might rain. I said, nice tie you got on. I said, you can't say that. My wife tried to choke me with it. Point I'm trying to tell you, son, is be yourself. People don't like how you be yourself, fuck them. Fuck them up against the wall. Wear handcuffs on. The crazy New Orleans. That's all you do.
Words to live by.
Live by them, son.
Okay, I'm going to go to the club now, Uncle Vester, and just go.
You go on and enjoy yourself, boy.
In Father Teresa's wine cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
America great again, right? Make America great again. Make it great, 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 great again. As and of course, this is something that's in a lot of our heads now. I mean, well, for heads like me, because we always follow politics like that's day in and day out. We constantly have our heads in it. We're constantly talking about it, listening, reading, watching. All right. And I think, like, everybody says, what, make America great again? You mean exactly which time are you talking about? You mean that time that it wasn't great, or that other time that it wasn't great, or that other time that it wasn't great? Because it was never great, all right? There was never a great America to make again, ever. There just simply wasn't. It was always great for the ownership class and a shit stack for the proletariat. Always. Now, and I thought about that, and it was like, so, but then also, I mean, so what if this whole idea of a nation, of a national community, could actually exist, if that were even possible, right? Make it great. Well, that would be a move forward thing, right? Like, you'd make it great by dismantling the policing system and putting up community protection and adjacent community protection in case ruffians come about. Protecting the folks that have been systemically most marginalized. You know, the whole rundown. If you listen to a program like this, if you're into social justice for adults, you know the whole spiel of the most marginalized folks. I don't have to riff that all out for you, right? More food, food like, shit that grows out of the ground, not shit that's processed in a fuck-off fucking factory, right? Less creating garbage. The fuck we making so much garbage for? Why the fuck is everything wrapped in plastic to keep for fucking ever? Like, we're, too much preservatives, too much keeping shit for fucking ever, right? Like, shit grows, it gets ripe, you fucking eat it, right? That's it. Real simple. Right? Like, that could be a way of making things great. But it's not just that. It's also thinking about, like, art and entertainment. Because that is one of those things where it's like, we could make it great again, but you can't make it great again by recreating. Recreating, that's for nostalgia. Thinking particularly about mainstream, and, I mean, to a lesser extent, underground hip-hop, rap music, all right? Because, I would dig it if we just had another G-Funk era with, like, the exact same beats, right? The exact same tempo, the exact same clothing and delivery and styles. But that's not making it great again. That's just recreating what we've already done. Make it great again by being creative again, by taking the risk again. Right? Like, that's what made the rap music and the hip-hop music so dope year after year after year, every half decade after every half decade, up until about 2005, about late 2005, going into 2006, when it really just started getting craptacular, but it just kept getting iller, right? Like MC8 and DJ Quick coming out of Compton, and then NWA following and really popping their shit off, and then G-Funk evolving from NWA with Above the Law and Dr. Dre, not really working together, but organically creating the same sort of funk. Right, the Ghetto Boys with their with that sort of funk that came out of rap a lot, boom bap like Wu-Tang Clan coming out of the East Coast, and then sort of like thug rap morphing out of the boom bap and coke rap morphing from the thug rap, and then those two standing next to each other, in the South, get buck music and that morphing into crunk music, and folks just kept saying like, so what could we do and take this thing that's already dope and push it forward and do the next thing, right? Like, you get that collaboration between Redman and Method Man in 1995, all right? Like, a lot of you younger folks, like, you think Red and Meth were always this duo. No, they were not. But it would seem that they kind of became so very organically, very naturally, like Method Man collaborated with Spice One on the America's Nightmare album, America spelled with 3 K's, and that was ill, right? It was like, oh, this fucking New York nigga Method Man from Wu-Tang Clan is fucking with Spiggity One, fucking with Spice One, and then, like, kind of around that same time a little bit, Redman collaborated with MC8 on the West Coast out of Compton, right? And that was like this dope collaboration, and that was the one where MC8 was like, Pops walked out, never had a big brother, put on the gang when I could find the right color. Fuck yeah, man. And that was that shit. And then also, like MC8 and Spice One, they're both affiliated with the Murder Squad, with South Central Cartel and the Murder Squad, which also like Tupac roamed in and out of that, but Tupac was more down with the mob, you know, with the Bay Area than he was with Murder Squad, but he fucked with them. And Ice-T fucked with Murder Squad, and Shaquilla, and Tretch from out of New Jersey also fucked with Murder Squad. The East Coast to West Coast connect quicker than Federal Express. You gotta check out that track, So What You're Saying. It's like a 7-minute track. It's dope as fuck. J.O. Felony fucked with them. You know, some Chicano rappers, right? Like, damn. I don't think that it was Slow Pain. I think it was another cat. You know, but like, so that was, it seemed like this very natural thing that, that like Redman and Method Man would end up working together, especially if you go back to the old Source magazines. And the Source magazines, one of our favorite parts as hip hop heads was the hip hop quotable, right? One verse a month got picked to be the hip hop quotable. And there was one year where I was going back in my source, I think it was 1994, and I was going back and looking at my Source magazines, and I noticed in one of them, Method Man got the hip-hop quotable, and then another issue, Redman got the quotable, and I looked at their pictures under the quotable, and both of them had, like, the exact same nappy afro, like, the exact same look on their faces, and then here comes this documentary called The Show. And after The Show, there was a soundtrack called The Show, of course, for the documentary, and a track called How High, right? A lot of people only know it was a movie. No, that was a song way before it was a movie, and it was Redman and Method Man, and it was so fucking raw, like hearing Redman and Method Man kick those verses, especially how Redman came off at the end. 10987654 3-2 murder, one lyric at your door. Take cow, bring it to that ass roar. Breaking all the rules like glass jaws. Nigga, you got to get mine to get yours. Fucker, we don't need no rap tour. I'd rather kick the facts and catch you with a rap chore. More than you bargained for. Take cow that stays open like an all-night store. For real, I keep you ill like a piece of blue steel. Pointed at your temple with the intent to kill. And in your existence, M-A-T ain't no use for resistance. H-E-D. What? That's that shit, man. I'm telling you, like, you couldn't. It was hard to fuck with. Look up in the, I got the verbs, nouns, and glocks in ya. Enter the center, lyrics rain like ricochet rabbit. I bring havoc with an AK-matic. Rolling blunts an all-day habit. I get it in like Smith and West. Who clicks the best? Punks take a sip and test. Who split your vest? The funk phenomenon. I'm bombing you like Lebanon. Blowing styles of Panama just off Panama. Styles not to be fucked with or played with. Fuck the pretty hoes. I love those Section 8 bitches. Hitting switches, twisted wigs with fat radical mathematical type scriptures. I dig up in your planets like Digger. Boo. Scared you, blew you to smithereens. Fuck the Marines, I got machines that like to split and read mad magazines. Yo, that shit. Yeah, ah, man. And it just kept getting iller and iller and iller, man. Let me turn that shit down. Fuck Smalls, who shot ya? Funk Doctor with a 12-gauge Mossberg. To make the mind tickle for the 9-nickel. Yeah, Redman and Method Man worked together, and then they ended up linking back up years later, and just doing an album together, which was just that classic shit. I think one of my favorite bars from that album was on a song called "Serial Killer," and it's kind of like a hookish sort of bar. It was like murder, 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 kill, 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 take nuts and bolts about Ferris wheels, Like, what the fuck? Like, that was that shit, man. And I know a lot of the type of folks that would tune into a program like this probably aren't, I mean, as far as like how this program has organically progressed, this isn't the segment that we typically do. But like a lot of the folks that would tune into a program like this do not even want to hear a mention of the name Eminem. But like, first off scratch, like, this is rap-splaining. I'm rap-splaining to you because most likely if you, I highly doubt that you listener can rock a rhyme. I highly doubt that you listener can rock a crowd. And I highly doubt that you could battle me. You know, like freestyle or written rhyme, I'd have a ball with you. Written rhyme, I'll fucking destroy you. Freestyle, I'll clown around like it'll be like a cat with a ball of yarn. I'll smack you around a bit, freestyle. But you don't want to go written rhyme with me, I'll fucking destroy you. Right? So, as a person who's actually in the culture, I'll tell you straight up, if you can't tell the difference between, like an Iggy Azalea or a Macklemore and an Eminem, you don't know shit. You don't know shit, and you shouldn't be talking about hip-hop or rap music at all, ever. Because you don't know. Fuck all. All right, M is nice. And in particular, M is a cypher MC. All right, Eminem is a cypher MC. Method Man, Redman, Jadakiss, Dragon, a lot of those East Coast cats. Twista, he's kind of cypher-esque. Tretch from Naughty by Nature. I think Bushwick Bill from the Ghetto Boys, he's got a little bit of cypher in him. You know, a little bit of cypher MC in his system. I think Spice One from out in the West Coast. Tupac, of course. Tupac's kind of an all-around MC, but like cyphering. And you can find video clips of him cyphering, too. Like, he's a good cypher MC. He's pretty fun. Jesus Christ. I mean, me, myself, I'm a cypher MC. And what folks don't understand is that cypher MC, we're in an echo chamber. And when people from outside of our echo chamber hear us, they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? And we're like, what are you talking about, man? We're hip-hopping because we don't understand because we talk to each other way too much as in cyphers. You know, and I guess I kind of have like a bit of more of an outside perspective than I would have if I'd have never left Washington State, because hip hop is very alive and active there, and I probably would have never left the cypher. But like being a Florida resident, like I'm very much outside the cypher now, and like looking in to the cypher, I'm like, holy shit, what is wrong with these guys? Because like one thing they're constantly doing is playfully one-upping each other. But what we don't realize is that we're saying shit that sounds horrible to people outside of the culture, right? And I know you probably think, what? I'm hip-hop. I like listening to rappers. I like Wu-Tang Clan. Yes, you like Wu-Tang Clan. You will never be able to cipher with Wu-Tang Clan. I can go bar for bar with any of them niggas any day, all right? Like, I actually am hip-hop. And that's one thing where it's just there's a bit of a shut the fuck up factor to when people from outside of the culture start riffing, all right? Like I see like some folks writing all these think pieces on some Kendrick Lamar shit. Like, look, Kendrick is just an above average basic nice MC. And that's it. Like, his rhymes are not meant to be your activism, all right? That's it. Like, he's just he's a bit of a cypher MC himself, Bun B as well, Jay-Z and Nas, you're goddamn right they are, all right? And my thing is, it's like, we can't bring the cypher back to make hip-hop great again. I think one thing that, like, to make hip-hop great again is it wouldn't be something you bring back because it can still happen. We recently saw it happen with fucking Drake and some other rapper. You know, but these niggas are not that fucking dope. They're not that nice. They're not that ill. They're not that raw. And, but, like, battling, right? Like, don't bring battling back. It didn't go anywhere, but focus on it again and stop being scared to battle. Stop being afraid of the word hater, right? Like, if an MC is not that ill to you and you want to flex on them, flex on them. They call you a hater, be like, yeah, I hate whack MCs. Nigga, what? Get at me. You know, like, fucking get at whack MCs. Battle again, all right? We need the battle factor back. Like, shit was ill back then, right? Like, LL Cool J, he's known for losing battles, right? he loses battles to the point of where if he won a battle, it'd be hard for me to tell because in my mind he already lost by entering. But, like, he made that shit, he was a part of making hip-hop fun. It was fun hearing N.W.A. and Ice Cube go at it. It was fun as fuck seeing, like, even though Luke is a whack rapper, Luke doing his thing trying to get in the battle with Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, and seeing Snoop, the new young dude, coming in, getting at Ice Cube, getting at Eazy-E, getting at Luke, all in the same track, on a track called Fuck With Dre Day, and everybody celebrating. That's the full name of the song. You, non-hip-hop head, you probably just know the name of the song as Dre Day, the radio version, right? Right. The battle factor, like a lot of folks know, Tretch from Naughty by Nature, he got into it with Twista out of Chicago. Folks don't know that shit. And, of course, Twista fucking demolished him. Complete and utter destruction. It was absolutely fucking ridiculous. I think one person that I would have really liked to hear battle, like, in between her first and second albums, I really would have liked to hear the Brat get into a battle with somebody in between those two albums. Like, after that second album, I don't know what happened. She just became a feature artist. But I think she still had it in her to drop ill albums. She's got to get away from Jermaine Dupri. Jermaine Dupri is he went from being an album producer to a single producer. And the Brat has album capabilities. And she just really wasted that ability on Jermaine Dupri. Very sad, very fucking sad. Kind of like Cannabis with Wyclef. Like Cannabis really wasted his first mainstream release on Wyclef. That was absolutely horrible. And his second mainstream release, Raw as Fuck, didn't get the attention it should have because people were already so disappointed with the first release, the album Can I Bust. But man, that second album, he came at it. That shit, like, I actually recommend that to you. Get the Cannabis album, man. It's fucking ridiculous. And who do I think the Brat, who would have been cool for the Brat to battle? I mean, anybody, like, across the gender spectrum. Like, I don't really care, like, across the gender spec. Like, I think it would have been fun to see the Brat, like, battle, like, Silk the Shocker from No Limit Records. That would have been funky. I think she couldn't have gone at, like, Yuck Mouth from the Loonies. Yuck Mouth's a little out of her league. Yuck Mouth is, fucking nice. Yuck Mouth is fucking ridiculous. All right, but, yeah, man, re-centering the idea of making hip-hop rap music, great again is move it forward, take the risk, with the battle, get off of the over-polished shit. It's too fucking polished. It's too fucking perfect now. You know what? Go in with your paper and lay your verse in one take and keep that raw one take and then just layer it with another take. And then, like, where you messed up a word, just replace that one word. Don't replace the whole verse. Do not over polish your shit. Your music videos. Stop over polishing your music videos. I sat and watched music videos and, Jesus Christ, what was it? I think it was early 2014. I sat and watched music videos for about like 45 minutes to an hour. The shit was fucking painful, man. Fucking painful. Trying to watch these goddamn music videos. Yeah, fuck that shit, dude. Don't overpolish your music videos and stop making everything about celebrating the dance clubs and the women, and we got the dance clubs and we got the women and we got more dance clubs and more women and oh, she's so fine. And it's like, yo, nigga, first off, nigga, rapping don't even have to have a subject, nigga, just rap. Just pick up the mic and just spit some shit. You know, that was like Snoop's first solo single, right? What's My Name? He was just spitting some shit. You know, a lot of, METHOD, man. He was just spitting some shit. I came to bring the pain, hardcore to the brain, right? Like Bun B, you know, he was just, he just grabbed the mic and just spit something. Just grab the mic and get your rhyme on. Show me how nice you are, right? Have a topic here and there, right? You can get topical. Like Spice One has a track called, I think it's called Letters from the Pen. And it's basically like him writing rhymes from the perspective of being letters from his homeboys that are locked up in the penitentiary. Dope verses, man. Real fun shit. And Delirious out of Seattle, he did the exact same thing. I forgot the name of his record, but that shit's on his, I think he only has one album. So, I mean, if you find the Delirious album, first off, link me to that shit, because I'd like to find it too. And check out that track. Like, Spice One and Delirious, they did the same idea, and I think they both executed it very well. So, you know, like, lay off the clubbing and the, and the, you know, I think they were objectifying women before, but, like, this is, like, it's like, all you got? Because, like, I would hear these MCs, like, back when I was younger, you know, and it's like, yeah, a lot of violence in the rhymes, you know, lot of sexism, a lot of capitalism in the rhymes. But, like, I get it. They're just as ignorant as the society that made them. But, like, these guys now, like, the rap music is R&B now. Like, rap groups are fucking boy bands. I mean, really, like, I look at a nigga like a fucking, who are these, Drakes and Wizzy, Wizzer Waz, whoever the fuck these fucking guys are, Wacky Flacky. These niggas look like fucking boy bands to me. They're in costumes. You know, like, I remember seeing Bone Thugs and Harmony, and you see them niggas, and, like, they just got wardrobe funding. And it's like, fuck it, put on whatever. Some Dickies, some fucking Chucks. Like, it was like the same shit you wore in the neighborhood. Like, niggas just look casual. And then somebody might come in and spice it up and get funky, like Busta Rhymes would really go all out with his shit. He was a very East Coast, very fashion forward guy, you know, with the big old, like, real shiny bubble coats and, like, the huge, like, leather shiny fucking hats and all that stuff and the fluff around the top, you know, and all that wild stuff. Or like, one that was really cool was, like, the beanie caps that were open-ended at the top, and you could, and you tie the top off with a drawstring. Yeah, but for the most part, man, you just wore some goddamn clothes. You know, DMX, like, his costume was essentially a tank top and jeans. Very low budget. Low budget costuming. You know, I think at the House of Blues performance DVD that you could find, like, Snoop just... I don't even think he had on a new Dickie suit. Like, when I look at it, I don't think I saw any creases. I think he actually just put on, like, some old clothes and went and performed. You know, so, yeah, stop polishing everything up. So bring the battle back, stop polishing everything up, and don't be afraid to not have a topic. Don't be afraid to just spit. Just grab the mic and spit. All right? That's some of the fucking greatest, most classic records are ones where fools just got their rhyme on. All right, where are we going with this? What the fuck kind of wine cellar episode? How long have I gone? I don't even know how long I've been talking. All right, we got some news, we got some comment, we got some stuff and some things. Right, what the hell has been going on? I mean, what racism, sexism, what? Okay, Letitia Clay. We have a Letitia Clay update. We have some trans women of color news. We have some native news, poisoning. Right, and we have a story that I'm calling Butt Boy. That's it. I'm calling this story Butt Boy. It involves faith. It involves faith in Jesus, ha, the Lord. And little clip of Donald Trump, and we got some racism on the basketball court for a teenage girl. All right, so you're in the wine cellar. Let's get into some shit.
Unless I crip walk into my reception.
We might as well hop out the pulpit and let the choir preach it. Your argument would have teeth if you would quit fighting Phoenix. Try to be Finn, we can leave them slayed. Three languages, English, tea, and shade. Wine cellar to the bone gristle. We throw missiles on the warpath to make your soul sizzle. And I attack them with the fat flow. I make it dance like Hillary to get the black vote. I'm a super predator about the heel top. So I ain't paying attention until she does the crip walk. She can study it on Lokestapedia. For now I gotta deal with the social media. Different day but the same turd. Corny motherfuckers wanna drag a nigga like James Byrd. With your clickbait schemes and plans. With niggas like you, who needs the clan?
Something about you was seeming fade.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
Coming at me with your weak brigade.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
And I don't care what your people say.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
So memorize it and repeat the phrase.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
If you're more of a reader than a listener, you can peep our written content at socialdissonance.wordpress.com.
All right, so update on Letitia Clay. All right, we covered Letitia Clay, rape victim, forced by her biological father into sex work, which is, well, rape, like rape for pay, because this was not her own autonomous decision. This was forced by her biological father. And the folks over at Coyote and Sex Workers Outreach Project USA, they are working on reaching concrete ways to support Letitia while she is sentenced as an adult. 15-year-old black child rape victim sentenced as an adult for the crime of being a victim, and they'll keep the updates coming. So bullet list, and ain't this some shit? Remember, she's a child. She's 15. It says send Letitia age appropriate coloring books. All right, Letitia asked for coloring books. And they set up a wish list, and the link is in the Father Teresa blog, fatherteresablog.wordpress.com, featuring coloring books that they think a teenage girl would like in order to reduce duplicates or too many books arriving at the same time and being trashed because she is over quota. They'll update it as they get more information about her interest, and you can also send them independently. Mailing books to prisons is often faster and easier through major online vendors like Barnes & Noble, Dalton, or Amazon. The next list, add money to Letitia's commissary account, and this can be done through JPay, that's letter J, pay. Letitia's DOC number is, ain't that, she's a number. Is 972719. Next bullet, send age-appropriate letters of support via mail or the JPay email systems. That's letter JPay email system. And the final bullet, you can donate to the fundraiser for an appeals lawyer being organized by Letitia's mother. And the link is also there at the fatherteresablog.wordpress.com. And also you can look to Sex Workers Outreach Project for the fundraiser link. All right. Now, the address is Women's Huron Correctional Facility, 3201 Bernice Road in YPSILANTI, Michigan, 48197. All right, so it's a little update on Letitia Clay.
Father Teresa's Wine Cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
Queer and trans women of color are the central focus of the new Castro art exhibit. Quote, sisterhood is powerful, read the brightly colored poster that greeted guests at the GLBT History Museum. A new exhibit titled Feminists to Feministas, Women of Color in Prints and Posters. It opened March 4th at the Castro-based museum, just in time for Women's History Month. The gallery features 29 pieces of artwork that highlight the struggles of queer and trans women of color from the 1970s to today. Amy Cioce, Associate Dean of the College of Ethnic Studies, helped curate the show with the help of archivist Lisbeth Tellefson. Quote, "It's super important for me to include women, trans folks, and queers of color in the exhibit space," end quote, said Tsiyoshi, who is on the curatorial committee for the museum. Quote, "Lisbeth was telling me that we have an amazing poster collection, so we decided to do a queer women of color poster exhibit," end quote. Tellefson has dedicated her life to collecting works pertaining to a variety of social movements. Quote, "For the past year, I've been immersed in this collection," end quote. Tellefson said, continuing, she said, "Initially, I wasn't expecting to find much diversity, but as I scratched the surface, I kept finding gems," end quote. Now, going back to Tsiyoshi, she said, "I think that queer women of color tend to be underserved and sort of not visible, shown, or highlighted. So it's super important for me to be able to underscore not just their presence, but their activism, their insistence on social change, economic justice, and racial equality," end quote. Tsiyoshi said she believes it's incredibly powerful to see queer and trans women of color represented, since they are often considered an afterthought in the mainstream gay rights movement. The exhibit features pieces ranging from satirical works of popular ad campaigns to portraits of renowned black and brown queer feminists, including Audre Lorde. Quote, "There is power in being able to see your history laid out in front of you," end quote from Tellefson. Darius Bost, associate professor of sexuality studies at San Francisco State, also attended the gallery opening. Bost, who teaches courses focused on the struggles of queer and trans people of color, said he thought that there was a lot of his students to draw from in the new exhibit. Quote, "I think it both represents a very near history regarding queer people of color activism and history, and it speaks to a diversity of organizing that I think a lot of students don't hear about that helped made their identities possible," end quote from Bost. Tellefson said she hopes the biggest takeaway is young queer and trans women of color get from the exhibit is the knowledge that they are not alone. Quote, "Every generation gets strength from the generation before them. I think it's really important just to see ourselves contextually as part of a continuum of struggle and to see that we made some funky posters," end quote from Tellefson.
More of a reader than a listener, you can peep our written content at socialdissonance.wordpress.com.
In Peru, a mercury poisoning epidemic sweeps a tribe. The Nahau territory in Peru, well, up to 80% recently contacted tribe in Peru, well, they've been poisoned with mercury. This is raising serious concerns for the future of the tribe. One child has already died, displaying symptoms consistent with mercury poisoning. The source of the Nahau tribe's poisoning remains a mystery, but experts suspect Peru's massive Camisia gas project, which opened up on the land that the tribe occupied in the 1980s, may be to blame. The project has recently been expanded further into the Nahau territory, prompting fierce opposition from the tribe. Rampant illegal gold mining in the region is another potential source of mercury poisoning. Other indigenous communities in the area may also have been affected by mercury contamination, but tests have not been carried out. Some of these communities are what they call uncontacted or extremely isolated, which means they haven't been fucked with yet by Europeans. And It is understood that the Peruvian Health and Environment Ministries have been aware of the problem since 2014. The Nahau, who live inside a reserve for isolated Indians in the southeast Peru, have also been suffering from acute respiratory infections and other health problems since they were contacted. All right, IDACEP, the main indigenous organization in Peru's Amazon, is lobbying the government to carry out full health checks on the Nahau and other tribes in the area and to conduct a proper investigation into the cause of the poisoning. A study was conducted by the Ministry of Health in the spring of 2015, but the results have yet to be published. Neri Zapata, an indigenous leader, said, quote, "Mercury contamination is extremely damaging to human health because its effects are irreversible. The health department must investigate this and stop the contamination that is poisoning the indigenous population," end quote. Survival has also, that's a publication, Survival has also written to the Peruvian Ministries of the Health and Culture urging them to publish the results of their study and put an end to the catastrophe. The director of the Survival publication, Stephen Carey, said, quote, "The Peruvian authorities have always been pretty indifferent to the problems facing their indigenous communities, and the total neglect they've shown in this case just proves it. Had this poisoning taken place in Lima, I don't expect they would have been quite so casual in their response, or as slow to publish the results of their earlier findings. It's nothing short of scandalous that they are not doing more to sort out the crisis. It's also very telling that they are withholding information about this from the public," end quote.
It's Free Thought Thursday in the wine cellar. Who took my glass?
A little did it. By Jack and Diane, two man kids growing up in the heartland. Jackie gonna be a football star. Diane said he's on backseat of Jack's car, and they go.
A prophet is the butt of his own religious joke. The joke that he is, the joke that his religion is. A Zion Christian Church prophet who was filled with the Holy Spirit recently challenged a lion to do battle in the Kruger National Park. The prophet Alec Nidwani, who is based in the Pretoria Shoshengwave, was with his fellow church members in the Kruger National Park where they were watching animals. It is believed the prophet went into a trance and started to speak in tongues. Oh, the Holy Ghost took over you, brother. Ha! And ahead of them was a lion pride, busy eating their impala. Yes, an impala was an animal before it was a car. Alec must have thought he was the biblical Samson, as the prophet opened the car door and went charging toward the lions. Ha, brother! Ha! Upon seeing the man running towards them, the lions could not believe that manna was coming straight from heaven and instead ran towards the prophet. Alec must have then come to his senses as he quickly realized this was not going to end well and made an immediate turn and ran back to safety. But before he could safely reach the confines of the car, one lion had snapped its paws on him, thus causing major damage to his buttocks. Also, thanks to the game ranger who was near, who fired some shots with his gun to scare the lion away. So severe was the lion paw injury, Alec had to be rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery. The man was fearing he would lose his bum buttle, but the doctor assured him he would still have his left buttocks intact. You lost. Oh, man. So is he a left winger now? Is he going to talk out the Democratic side of his ass? I don't know. Keep going. Quote, I don't know what came over me. I thought the Lord wanted to use me to show his power over animals. Is it not we were given dominion over all creatures of the earth? End quote. He got stitched up and discharged after spending a night in the hospital. Fucking clown. Man, so we're looking at an update on one of the assaults on a black person at a Donald Trump rally. And like I made a post in the social networks thinking like, you know, there's those folks that think white genocide is a thing and they think the colors are coming to get them and force them to intermarry or some shit like that, right? Miscegenation. And I had a good laugh at them like a lot of other people did a few years ago with the whole white genocide thing. But where do you think the white genocide people are, right? I mean, unless they have on their T-shirts or holding their signs, you might not know exactly who they are. But if there are political rallies that they're attending where they might be able to get back at some of the people they think they need to get back at, which ones would they be? All right, here's some audio from Inside Edition, an update on an attack.
It's a shocking moment as a Trump supporter cold cocks a protester. Boom, an elbow right to the face. Watch from a different angle. The protester never sees it coming. He's wrestled to the ground by deputies. The guy who smacked him goes right back to his seat.
Did you like the event?
You bet I liked it.
Yeah? What'd you like about it?
Knocking the hell out of that big mouth. We don't know who he is, but we know he's not acting like an American.
So you deserved it?
Every bit of it.
What was that?
Yes, he deserved it. The next time we see him, we might have to kill him.
78-year-old John McGraw was later charged with assault.
I mean, so what I would say to, like, some of the young homies out there that, you want to go, you know, protest a Trump rally, man, don't do that. Don't do that, little homie. Like, stay out of that shit, man. Like, those Trump rallies, those are gangster meetings. That's a meeting of gangsters at a set. And when you walk up in their shit, like, just by the fact that, like, your skin is your hood flag to them. And when they see your skin, they're just going to want to get at you immediately off scratch. They're going to want to beef with you. They're going to want to put it down. They're going to want to mob on you. And like that fool said, they'll kill you. They'll kill you. So don't go there. Like, it's not worth doing. Like, if you got some white homies, like, send your white homies in there undercover. Right? Like fools did that. Like, we go back to the old SIBO song called I'm a Fool from the One Life to Live album, where he said, I got the beanie on my eyes, flamed up in disguise. Like, he was rapping from that, like, as a Crip going into a Blood neighborhood dressed as a Blood. And it's like, you can't do that, right? You can't, like, put on white people makeup and go in dressed as a white person. But if you got some white homies that are willing to go in there undercover, you know, get some video, get some audio, get some pictures of folks, and maybe do some journalism on it, all right, do that. But don't put your black body in that. Don't do it. They're going to fucking kill you. And they're not going to care. They're going to brag about it. All right.
Goes beyond unsportsmanlike conduct. McClatchy students and parents say Oak Ridge fans cross the line with relentless verbal abuse. Now they're demanding action from Oak Ridge school officials.
The playoff match between the Lady Lions and Trojans on February 25th overshadowed with controversy. It wasn't the heat on the court, but the language in the stands.
We've never experienced anything like that.
CK McClatchy High students say Oak Ridge fans took school spirit to an offensive low.
Their entire cheering section would just shout at us, like, you guys are trash, you guys are ugly, you guys are fat.
You guys are poor, we're rich.
CK McClatchy parent Glenn Kumamoto was sitting front and center watching his daughter play when he says Oak Ridge fans took a racist turn.
I heard soy sauce. A lot of our players are of Asian descent. I saw, heard references to, you know, small eyes, chance, go back to Fiji, things like that.
Kumamoto adds it wasn't just a couple students, but a majority of the student section.
What was the most disturbing is that there were a lot of the administration there at the game, and it didn't seem like they were making any moves to stop it.
The El Dorado Union High School District released a statement on behalf of Oak Ridge, saying in part they are disappointed and saddened by this situation and are working to address the inappropriate behavior. But there are also claims the harassment became violent in the parking lot.
One of the students from the other school was driving up and like was intentionally trying to hit her, but stopped. But ended up hitting her, and she came out of the situation with bruises.
Do you think it was an accident?
No, not at all.
But the strong words still left a mark.
I was really sad. I went to my mom and I cried.
And Glenn is just one of several CK McClatchy parents who are speaking out, sending letters and phone calls to Oak Ridge High staff asking for an apology.
So, Vicki, what about the school district? Did they say, is there going to be any kind of action taken as a result?
Although expressing disappointment that they're saddened about what happened, they didn't specifically say if students would be reprimanded, and they would not comment. However, they said they would keep us updated with the developments.
Okay, well, stay on top of them, and we'll see what they say. Thanks, Vicki.
It's Free Thought Thursday in the Wine Cellar.
All right, and thanks for tuning in to the Wine Cellar for this episode of News and Comment, and Let's Make Rap Music Great Again with William J. Jackson. All right, I was thinking, you know, the GOP debates are on tonight. I made a couple of tweets at the hashtag GOP debate. I did not hashtag them Wine Cellar Podcast as well, but other than that, this debate is very not hilarious. And we're not going to waste airtime on not hilarious. Republicans are either funny or they're fucking nothing over here. All right. So thanks for hanging out with us. Christina Loco, Avery Loco, the other homies posted up in the joint. Everybody mobbing with us. All right. Peace.